long-term friendship threatening into end. I will not let this happen. I will fight to defend this earth. You are so important to me. I will keep you safe and healthy, and you'll do the same for me.
Welcome back to Eco Talk, and this is our Partners Corner. And our current partner, I'm happy to say, is the Natural Resources Defense Council. And they have a fabulous publication that goes out to all its members called On Earth. It's also available online at nrdc.org. And among the great articles in this issue is, well, there was one on clean coal. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. This is also on the effects of global warming on trout habitat. So here we have climate chaos affecting everything from the Gulf Coast to, well, fishermen and more importantly, the trout up in Montana and cold water streams all around the country and Earth probably. To talk more about that is the man who wrote the article, George Black, joining us. Tell us, first of all, how you zeroed in on the trout.
You want my life story here?
Have you been focusing on trout for all these years?
Oh, a very long time. I've written books about it. But, you know, Montana is the place to go. Montana is trout capital of the world. And I was amazed when I got out there this summer to find, first of all, that the rivers were in a state of complete disruption. One day they were too high to fish. One day they were too low to fish. And people who you don't normally think of necessarily as environmentalists, we're really beginning to pick up on the connections between the conditions on their rivers and global warming as the culprit.
And what is happening to the trout habitat?
It's shrinking. It's getting higher. I mean, higher in elevation in the mountains. There's less water in the rivers than there used to be in general, not just because of the usual reasons of ranchers taking it for agriculture, but because the snowpack isn't there. So you come to May, June every year when the snowpack melts, and there is less of it than there's ever been. And then on top of that, you get raging rainstorms, which are also part and parcel of the climate disruption that's going on. And the trout don't know which way is up, and the fishermen are pretty much in the same position.
Is there a warming of the water? Is that one of the factors?
Yeah, there is. I mean, there's not a huge amount of scientific data in that area yet. There was a report that NRDC did about 3 years ago with Defenders of Wildlife, which talked about projections on climate change over the next century and how those would affect the loss of habitat, but at a level that is not yet, you know, fully published and documented. Some of the anecdotal stuff we're getting is extraordinary from stream gauges. The U.S. Geological Survey has stream gauges at various points in rivers all over the country. They measure volume, they measure flow, they measure temperature. And I was hearing of rivers in Montana, major trout streams, where they're literally already measuring changes of 2 or 3 degrees over the last quarter century. It's dramatic.
And you also mentioned the disruption of the balance among species, which is favoring the intruders, the exotics, if you will, over the natives.
Well, that's something that's happening all over the country, all over the world, and in a lot of areas beyond trout streams. I mean, you're getting the native ranges of species moving further and further north toward the poles, or north and south toward the poles. Creatures are having to go elsewhere for forage, for food, for breeding conditions. You're talking about major disruptions. We're sitting here in the Northeast at the moment. It's the 18th of October. Normally, I look out of my window. Every leaf in sight is red and orange and yellow. This year, the foliage hasn't changed yet because the summer's been long and warm and the winter won't come. So, you know, we're seeing this everywhere, particularly in Montana. Their concern is, as you say, the native species. They have species like the West Slope cutthroat trout, which is the ancestral fish. It's been there for millennia, and is losing habitat, and they're bringing in, you know, what you call recreational fish, other species that aren't native, and, you know, they give you fish to catch, but they're also an illustration of how the underlying conditions are changing to the detriment of the species that were there in the first place.
Now, some of these problems are, these eco-challenges are making for some strange bedfellows, so you mm-hmm. have some, the what you call the hook and bullet crowd, mm-hmm. sounding more like tree huggers every day.
I think it's on both sides. I mean, I think there's always been a lot of prejudice. People like to tag other people with labels, as you say, tree huggers, hook and bullet crowd. I think what's interesting about the environment is that it links together such basic concerns among such a diverse range of the population. And as people become more aware of issues like global warming, they realize that what is happening in their backyard, it doesn't matter whether you're a tree hugger or a hook and bullet guy. If your river's falling and warming, your river's falling and warming. And I was looking today at some poll data that just came out in the Wall Street Journal the other day, which, as I'm sure you and your listeners know and talk about a lot, the concern for the environment is absolutely across the board. It's basically bipartisan. It may not always be that active, but people share the same concerns. And the top of everyone's concerns in every poll is water quality. And that means drinking water quality, and it means the quality of our rivers.
So, you know, there's everything from the macro impact, which if you believe that Katrina was fueled by our use of fossil fuels, to down to the little trout, and probably a lot in between that just hasn't been identified yet, I would imagine.
Yeah, and a lot of the way I think you identify those issues is in your own backyard, in the immediate environment around you, which, again, is what I find so interesting in Montana, that some of the alliances that were being made, both on global warming and on other environmental issues like land use and forest preservation, they're bringing together people who would not have been thought of as traditional bedfellows, but they are concerned by the same problem. You're getting coalitions of ranchers working with fishermen, working with professional environmentalists, working with state government officials, because they have a common interest. And increasingly, I think those common interests are being identified. I think they're going to be extremely important in the political cycle now, given the importance of the issue. If you poll people on the really divisive issues, if you poll people on abortion or on gay marriage or the other end of the spectrum on, you know, the need for strong union membership, you'll get very, very divided figures by political party. On this stuff, it's pretty solidly bipartisan.
As well it should be. We're all in the same boat, and it
Absolutely.
Is sinking. We just have about 30 more seconds. I want to make sure you give people a place they can go if they're concerned about this and register their concern or perhaps do more.
Well, you've already heard Laurie talk about the virtual march. Our own website on the magazine is www.onearth, O-N-E-A-R-T-H, one word, .org, or the main NRDC website is nrdc.org.
And I just realized the virtual march is halfway through. It started Earth Day, and it's going to culminate Earth Day, and the show will be airing on October 22nd, so halfway point looks like it's going strong.
That's right.
Thank you, George Black of the
Thank
NRDC's
you.
On Earth.
Bye now.